Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hello there, people of the world where computers, TVs, and other settings that play podcasts and the like. I'm your autistic guy, and sitting next to me as per usual is...
good old Scarface himself, the Somali John. Black Nostradamus here, ready to enlighten you once again. Wagwan, bitches.
Wagwan indeed.
And by the way, I will say today, there will be another prediction.
I've got a prediction.
Oh, I got one too.
But before we go into that, I think we need to... I think it's because it's kind of relevant to us.
Yes.
To those of you in America who are doing the autism speech walk, or walk for autism speech, whatever the fuck they're calling it.
Yeah.
What the fuck are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, that's not the only autism charity in America, surely. And we all know...
I hope not.
I fucking hope not, but we all know... we all know what they're responsible for. If you don't know and you think, hey, I'm helping a charity out, get off your ass and do some fucking research. Like, yeah. They're known for eugenics. They have claimed that there is a cure for autism.
Which there isn't.
Yeah, definitely.
If there was, we would have had it by now.
Basically. And they have also been, as far as I've seen, they are basically trying to use a circular, what's it called where you have cause, effect, solution, and then it goes around in a circle. I forget what they call it, but basically, they keep making it like you need them, so you will always need them regardless.
It's a bit clingy.
They're bastards.
Yeah.
But if you have done anything to do anything with them, fucking shame on you.
No. Let's rephrase that. If you knowingly.
Okay, if you knowingly did something for them.
Yes.
If you knowingly did... but if you did the walk for them, you knowingly knew what you were doing.
Not completely.
That's like saying I did a walk for the BNP, not knowing what I was doing.
You marched for Brexit. You didn't know what you were doing.
Fuck you.
Like...
Okay.
Let's be honest.
But just as a thing. If you want to do an autism charity... do some fucking research and don't do it with autism speech. There's a reason why we in the autistic community despise them.
Yeah. And I think before we do, there is one more thing. And there's a reason why the podcast has existed in the past 2 weeks. And it's really very simple because, to be honest with you, because obviously the way we do our podcast, right, like we come to one place to get it recorded, but we live in two different parts of town.
And we've had... well, we've already brought this up before, but basically there were tube strikes. There were tube strikes up the wazoo.
Yeah, but it wasn't just that. It's like, it's a case where there was a point in time where I kind of got sick.
Basically, yeah.
It wasn't COVID, luckily.
Yeah.
Which I'm happy, but it was really bad to the point I was buried. I was like, yeah, I didn't even know what it was.
No, I get that. Like, so, he was in bed and couldn't get here.
Yeah, so it was one of those things where...
he was fucked.
Yeah, so, but luckily, once I got better, I was like, okay, we're gonna do the podcast, just get it done. Which is...
and thank fuck you are.
And we would have done it much earlier if it wasn't for the goddamn tube strikes.
This is the thing, we've had it over here in Blighton.
We've had a lot of tube strikes.
Not just that, but it's not just been the tube, it's been all over the country. Yes.
But just clarify, on my part, apologies.
But it's the...
on my
it,
part.
What was it, the RMT union.
Yeah.
They've been doing strikes like the wazoo, up the wazoo. And the thing here is, I'm not going to sit here and say he's right or wrong here, but what, you're at 60 over 60 grand a year to sit on your ass and drive a train? Do you really need to have a hissy fit considering there are people who are starving?
In theory, your argument carries weight, but then you'd have to address the other thing, which is why are so many industries in the UK going on strike?
Because they're going on about, wages going up with inflation.
Well, it's not just that. It's the fact that we've never... in the UK, we've never seen anything like this.
But
like,
this
is a little different. We've had lawyers go on strike. We've had nurses
barristers.
Go on strike.
It was barristers.
Barristers go on strike.
It was barristers, not lawyers. Yeah, but...
No, we've had barristers go on strike. We got nurses going on strike. We got the RMT.
Nurses haven't yet. They voted to go on strike.
They're voting. There you go. So we've got all these industries all planning to go on strike, and apparently there could be more.
My thing with nurses...
Like, this is bad.
My thing with nurses, I'm not going to say yay or nay yet, but the only thing I have basically fought for them for... I've always agreed with is they deserve free parking when they have to go to work.
Well, yeah. They get charged, especially...
They get fucked... Here in the UK, if you go to a hospital and you're a nurse, you have to pay for parking. I mean...
Yeah, it's kind of ridiculous.
Not just ridiculous, it's fucked up.
Yeah.
Because the thing is, you've seen how much NHS parking is.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
If you have to park there because you work there, that's... basically scummy.
Yeah.
But the other thing is, with NHS hospitals, they outsource their parking anyway.
Yeah.
So, they could have quietly just called the company and said, here's this number plate, don't charge it.
Yes.
Because they work here.
Yeah.
It's really that simple. And then if they do mistakenly charge them, they call up the company, say, hey, I work here, can you please cancel this ticket?
Yeah.
Job done.
Like, even when they were getting shit for what was happening during the pandemic, foreign NHS employees weren't even entitled to those things. And they were like, we're not giving them to you, even though you are working during a pandemic.
To be fair, none of them got them to begin with.
Pardon?
A lot of them didn't get them.
No, but it was like a case of, we were entitled to this, you weren't giving us it then, and you're still not giving it to us now during a pandemic. While we're trying to save lives?
I'm not disagreeing.
It's kind of a bit shitty.
Oh, speaking of the pandemic...
Yeah.
We're going to go on to this on Wednesday, but... Oh, God.
Yes. No, I'm going to say this right now. This has brought so much joy to my life.
It's brought so much joy to my fucking life, but I still haven't seen it yet.
Yes. Look, this is easily, in my honest opinion... one of the greatest things to ever appear on British reality TV. Matt Hancock is on I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. Now, I'm going to simplify it for anyone who's a foreign listener to this. Matt Hancock is the guy who's the health secretary during the pandemic and basically fucked us over to a point where we had to then sit back and deal with the fact that we couldn't see our loved ones for long periods of time. And he was basically forced to be kicked out of I'm a Celebrity. Of the government, because he basically put rules in place that we all had to follow, but he seemed to refuse to follow himself because he wanted to see his mistress. And now he gets to be in the jungle and everyone is voting for him to be punished.
On 400k.
Yeah.
Now, there are two important things to mention here, which is, you know, why I'm just referring to him as Cock from now on. One, people he knew had shares in the, what's it called? They had shares in the companies that were making masks and stuff like that, or importing them.
Yeah.
And then when it happened, he said, I knew nothing about it. I knew nothing about it. The NHS did it.
He was trying to get mates rates.
Basically.
That's basically what he was doing. But
not just that. He said, and something along the lines of, no inter-house mixing.
Yeah.
Inter-household mixing or something like that?
Yeah.
And then he's having sex with his mistress.
Yeah.
As you'd said.
Yes. Exactly. And that is the thing about all of it. And now the best part is, it's the fact that ever since he's been on the show, has done every single trial.
But there is one extra thing to add to this. He said, and I only, again, social media, he said, that's guidance, not law.
Yeah.
It came out, I think, on social media when he was in the jungle. He said, it was his own guidance, not the law.
Everyone's like, what are you talking about?
That's like saying, it's guidance not to have sex with this person, but I might get an STD. Oh, it's these guidance, but hey, I just got this STD. What does it matter?
Yes, yes. I don't think you should have sex with this person who's got an STD. I'll take it under advisement.
It's just stupid. It's just stupid.
It is pretty stupid. But here's the beauty about all of this. I'm going to be honest with Matt Hancock when I say this. But, this right here, if we're actually being honest, let's put our personal feelings to the side for a minute and let's look at this honestly. This was an act of pure genius.
Given the fact, though, that he's also down at SAS Who Dares Wins, and this is, before you say it's genius, this is something else that's important. He, again, this is all through social media, so we're going to go into this properly once they've caught up with it.
Yes.
But, one, he's lied. And we see, and I know he's lied.
We know he's lied, yes.
No, on the show, because a clip came out of him talking to, I think it was Chris Moyles, about what happened with the pandemic, and it was clearly a lie.
Yeah.
Given the fact that he is listed on the World Economic Forum's, I think it's Global Leaders.
Yeah.
We know he's part of it. So everything he's done, this is the thing. If I was in there, there were three things I would have done. A, I would have grabbed hold of him. Threw him into the Bush Telegraph, and I don't care if I get thrown out for this, because I would have, a lot of people probably would have cheered me on and basically said they wanted me to stay. I would have thrown him into the Bush Telegraph, and I would have just said one thing. I'm going to ask you two questions. One, do you have any remorse for anything that you've done, given the fact that you've basically fucked over a load of people, bearing in mind, as we explained, like, neither of us could go and see our relatives when they were dying.
Yeah.
The fact that we couldn't do that, yet he's having sex with his mistress.
No. I could, to be fair.
Well, you could, but I couldn't.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry, my bad.
Yeah, I could.
But whether he actually has any remorse whatsoever, because you can see it in his eyes, I don't think he does. And two, how much of this was him, and how much of this was Mind Schwab?
Who's Mind Schwab in this situation?
You, Klaus Schwab. The leader of the world. Okay, we're going to have to go through this at this time, but the leader of the World Economic Forum.
Okay.
The German who is basically trying to run the world. We'll go into this another. Oh, we'll go into this properly another time, but. Anyway.
Yeah, at least I now know where your hatred for the World Economic Forum comes from.
No, this is the guy who wants us to eat the boogs.
So you're hearing it right here.
What, that I'm not going to eat the boogs?
No, we know why you hate them now.
I've already mentioned it several times over. Yeah. Why are you surprised?
No. You always mention that you hate them, but you don't specify why. Now we know. German.
Well, he's a cunt. Anyway.
Okay, let me make this very clear.
But anyway,
not every German in a leadership position is going to end up being a Nazi and putting your people in concentration camps.
No, but this guy is.
That is your.
This
opinion.
Is the guy responsible for Davos every fucking week, where he goes on about. He's the guy that goes on about, oh, climate change, oh this, oh that, oh this, oh that, and then puts up a. And then they have a city that's a town that's basically built up for a week and then demolished, and they all come in on private jets. Do you not see a bit of hypocrisy there?
No, that is hypocritical.
It's not just that. It's like, you know what's going to happen. When it happens, it'll be not your one rule for thee, but not for me. Anyway.
It already is, though.
Like I said, Heil Schwab. Anyway.
Anyway.
But like, you know what's going to happen? He's going to be on screen like it was in 1984. Yeah. We're going to have our 2 minutes of hate for anyone who disagrees with him. But anyway, back to Amber Celebrity. We'll go into that properly on Wednesday.
I'm going to say, just for a minute, because the Matt Hancock thing, it did get a lot of attention. But here's the thing about...
He's coming up with a book. That's why.
I know. But it's not just that, though. But it's the fact that... I'm going to be honest when I say this. Like, when I said it was an act of genius. Let's think about it. Matt Hancock,
let's call him by his name. Cock.
Okay, we'll call him Cock for the sake of this conversation.
No, I'm calling him Cock from now on, because that's what he basically is.
I can't...
And it's technically his name, so it's not like...
Well, yeah.
It's not like I'm calling him... It's not like I'm making up names. His name is
Cock. Vakok!
Anyway.
Yeah, but anyway. Anyway, here's the thing with Matt Hancock. It is this. It is the fact that Matt Hancock is at least... Like, even if he... Whether he feels remorseful or not, we will never really know. But here's the thing.
No, you can tell. You can tell looking at it.
But here's the thing with Matt Hancock is this. Is the fact that he knows what the public think about him.
No, he doesn't.
Yes, he does.
We all know how far removed he is.
No. But he's aware. In this situation, and I think in an environment like that, he's gonna know whether he wants to or not.
Like I said, and I'm gonna say this again, this is from social media. Thank fuck Boy George is there telling him to go fuck himself.
Yeah, like Boy George does not like, if Boy George gets his way, and let's be honest, it's only a matter of time before he pisses him off so much, he ties him up and beats the shit out of him.
There was also news apparently of him being about him being stung by a scorpion as well.
Yeah, he got stung. He got stung by a scorpion, chased out by snakes, falling out of chairs. As we all know.
It's a shame it didn't put him out of action. Again, just to make it clear, I'm not hoping anyone gets hurt. Yeah. Just that he's out of action for a day or two so we can at least enjoy the show.
Yeah, but anyway, as I was going to say...
Sorry, go on. Yeah.
No, but here's the thing. We put all our personal feelings to the side of it for a minute. And we got to realize, he knows what people think about him. There's no way he's going to go on I'm a Celebrity without knowing what the public really think about him. And the fact that he's like, you know what? We're in a climate where a lot of people right now are getting leaders that they don't ask for. At a time where they have a lot of resentment towards Matt Hancock, and he's going to capitalize off it by giving the British public an opportunity to punish him every single night. This is genius. You can say what you want about the guy. This was a brilliant move. And you know what? I'm going to say something right now that's about to actually scare you.
Me or generally?
Generally. Get ready for this.
Hold on.
Hold on.
I think this is appropriate.
I actually think Matt Hancock might win I'm a Celebrity. I think he might. Here's what I think will happen. I think the public will keep him in for as long as they can just to keep fucking with him.
Well, remember, everybody gets voted out, we don't choose who gets voted. We don't choose who does the trials.
No. We do get to choose who does the trials.
Not when they're voted out.
No. But the thing is, he's going to stay in the whole time until the final. And then I think because of the amount of shit he goes through, the public will go, you know what? You've earned this. We may not like you, but you earned this. Remember, we're the same country that had Gary Busey win Celebrity Big Brother. Would you really put it past us to put Matt Hancock as the winner?
Well, do you want to know what the current odds are for him to win?
Go on.
Well, give me a minute. I've got to look it up. But like I said, we'll go into I'm a Celebrity properly on Wednesday.
I know. But what do you think here and now, honestly?
I'm surprised. I mean, we all hate the Tories to an extent. For that reason, I doubt.
Oh, you used to like them.
I never used to like them. I said they were the best of a bad situation.
Remember, you voted for them.
I know. Hold on. I'm coming to...
Go on. What are the odds of Matt Hancock winning? Go on.
So, from the beginning of February 2022, bear in mind these are from Coral.
Yes.
For those of you who don't know, there's a betting shop over here in Blighty.
Yeah.
So, at the top is Jill Scott.
That doesn't surprise me.
The Lioness.
Yeah.
Mike Tindall is at 11-4. Chris Moyles is at 20-1. I'll say this, the first time when I saw a picture of him, you normally do the intro video.
Yeah, yeah.
Fucking hell, he's gone thin.
You just noticing that now?
I don't listen to Radio X. I haven't listened to much of his stuff. I'm just saying kudos to him for getting so thin.
Yeah.
Yeah, kudos.
Yeah, good for him, yeah.
Yeah, kudos to him. Bubba Tundi, I can't remember. Alishi? Is she?
I actually haven't bothered to look at the last name.
But anyway, but the guy who does... The other guy's with Mo Gilligan is at 16-1. And the cock is at 6-1.
Go on, cock!
Boy George is at 25-1. Sean Walsh, the guy who fucked up at Strictly.
Yeah.
Is at 33-1. Sue Cleaver is at 33-1.
It's Coronation Street.
That's a question. How many trials has she actually been put up for? Because she's, if I'm correct, she's diabetic, isn't she?
She's not going to be put up for that many. I think she's avoided damn near everyone, I think.
No, because she's diabetic. She's got the patch on the back of her arm.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming she's not going to be put in water trials.
Yeah.
And there are things here and there she may be put out of because, you know, diabetes.
Yeah.
Not because she has diabetes, but that...
Well, yeah.
Patch thing. Owen Warner is at 6-1. That's it. One. I can't back to that again. And then come on, load. There we go. Scarlett is at 66-1, and Charlene is at 100-1.
Wow. Charlene's at 100. Wow.
Would you like to know who's up for first elimination?
Come on, it's not going to be the cock.
Charlene's at 6-5. Scarlett Douglas is at 7-2. The cock is at 5-1. It's too clean.
Really, the cock is at 5-1.
Yep, he's going to be first out.
He can't be the first out. I'm sorry. No,
remember, it's a betting shop. I never said it's going to. I never said that's going
to
happen.
I know. I hope to God. Like you want to know something? And I've noticed this. The nation has come together to punish Matt Hancock. Like, think about it. There are so many things that have divided us up. Some people vote Labour. Some people vote Conservative. Some people vote for Brexit. Some people did. A football tournament couldn't even bring us together. The last time we had a final, black people got racially abused.
Oh, don't worry. The next one, all the gays are going to get abused.
Yeah. God, it's your turn.
All I'm going to say is just a quick thing. I'm going to give it a day. I'm going to give it a day before in the news they say somebody in the alphabet soup's hurt.
Yeah, yeah. We'll give it a day.
Again, though, just to clarify, we're not condoning this.
We are not condoning it.
We're not condoning anyone getting hurt. It's just the fact that it's in Qatar and you know what's going to happen.
But you know what
or like, someone drunk's going to get hurt.
Yeah, but here's the thing. It's the fact that something like this, there are so many people who are watching I'm a Celebrity just to punish Matt Hancock. Even my younger sister, who's not watched it in years, she's voted, even when she's not watching the show, just to put him through every single time. Like, we've never seen anything like this on reality TV.
Well, to be fair,
in the UK, we've never seen this.
Well, there was what's her name last time, wasn't there?
Yeah, but she wasn't a sitting. Like, but there was never been a sitting politician go on a reality show.
Apparently, they've also been threatened with Ofcom.
What if they put him through one more trial?
No, it's because of how much he's making and the fact that they put him on there to begin with. So,
punish again. Why are they trying to be killjoys?
I'm not going to.
Why?
Just for clarity,
this is great. Let the man suffer.
Again, I'm not going to name the person. I'm just going to read the tweet. I mean, if you want to find it, you can
The idea that this man refused people to see their loved ones, see their parents and their grandparents, and we get to give him the karmic justice of telling him to eat a camel's dick is kind of...
Wait, hold on. Did he actually eat a camel's dick?
I'm not going to tell you. I haven't watched it.
No, I know it was going to be a penis of some kind. I just didn't know if it was camel.
Watch it and find out. You haven't watched it, so I'm not going to ruin it.
So, one of the tweets, Ofcom allowing... I'm a Celeb to host a disgraced former health minister and pay him a fortune to appear is a shocking lack of judgment. Bearing in mind, he has also lost his whip.
Ha!
Yeah, he lost the whip. Just for those of you who don't know, the whip is, if I'm correct, the whip is basically your place in Parliament, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he lost his place in Parliament. I think he's still an MP, but he lost his place. It's a shocking lack of judgment. Many people have been sickened, and to see him laughing and joking without in deck is an insult to those who died and to his family.
No! This is karmic revenge!
Hold on. Somebody else asked, Ofcom, why are you allowing Tories to have excessive airtime, peddling the narrative under the guise of a reality/game show? Aren't there rules about this?
My god.
Again, I'm not sitting here whether it's right or wrong. All I'm going to say is, we had this a couple of years ago with, I can't remember her name, Nadine Dorris.
Yeah, but she wasn't a sitting MP at the time.
Yeah, she was.
She wasn't.
Yes, she was.
She wasn't a sitting MP.
Yes, she was. She was a sitting MP at the time.
She was not a sitting MP.
She was.
She wasn't.
Yes, she was.
No, she wasn't.
Right, let me double check.
We're not going to turn this into a goddamn pantomime.
I'm sure. There you go. Apologises to MPs over I'm a Celebrity. She was in it. There you go.
But was she a sitting MP?
Yes.
Not former MP or anything like that. Was she a sitting MP at the time? Did she have a constituency to serve?
Yes, she was.
Well, okay.
Hold on. Was Nadine Dorris? I'm going to check this, but I'm sure she was. MP. There you go. She got suspended.
She was suspended by the party, but that doesn't confirm she was a sitting MP.
She was a sitting MP. She's taken the time off from Parliament to be a contestant.
Alright, yeah, she was a sitting MP.
As I told you.
So Matt Hancock is the second whatever. So yeah. But still.
Although having said that, she did also eat a kangaroo's penis, so.
Ha!
You know, I'm just saying.
Lovely.
I'm just saying, as a point.
Yeah, but I'm like, come on, people. Like, take the opportunity that's in front of you here to humiliate this man. Take it. Why are we ruining this for ourselves? We don't get an opportunity.
We don't get these opportunities.
Yes. And when we get them, we take them. And we make them Matt Hancock must suffer. That should be the new slogan. Matt Hancock must suffer. That's it. I don't care how he suffers. He has to suffer. And we've got an opportunity to make that happen. So for the love of God, I'm saying this to the whole nation of the UK. Keep Matt Hancock in the jungle just so we can fuck with this man more. He deserves it.
Like I said, when we start voting people out, he won't be doing the trials.
What?
When we are voting to keep people, I think when we are voting for who we want to leave or who we want to stay, he won't be doing the trials because when we do the vote to decide who leaves or stays, they choose who does the trial. So when that happens, get him the fuck out of there.
No. You know what they need to do? They need to do something unprecedented. They need to actually go up to these contestants and say, we will pay you more money to say Matt Hancock should do the trials. Keep this shit going. Keep the streak going. Matt Hancock must suffer. He must suffer. That's it.
Speaking of people suffering, what do we know why Olivia Atwood left?
I know why, but I'm not going to say.
Because the rumour going around was apparently she ate a shrimp on a plate.
I'm not going to say why. I know okay. why. Because I'm not going to give it away for you.
Okay, all I'm going to say is, again, this is... I just want to clarify, I really haven't seen this yet. This is all through social media, tittle-tattle.
Yeah.
Because I was waiting to see it, and then someone told me they'd already seen it.
For the record, he's referencing me.
Anyway. What I was going to say was, you know at the beginning when they all meet each other, they normally have like a platter of food.
I am not giving away a goddamn thing.
No, I'm talking about when they meet each other for the first time, yeah. When they're in these luxury... wherever it is, they normally meet, there's normally like a food spread or something.
Yeah.
There was apparently some shrimp on the top that had been sitting there for a while.
Yeah.
And apparently she got queasy or something for it. Like, if I saw that, I wouldn't have eaten it.
Yeah.
But then again, I'm not stupid. But anyway, but we'll go into it properly on Wednesday.
To be honest, that's sort of debatable.
I don't like shellfish. But.
No, so about the stupid part.
Ah. But.
Ha!
Okay, anyway, we'll go on to that properly on Wednesday.
Yeah.
The other thing, so...
Keep him in!
Next on the agenda is Jimmy Carr Destroys Art.
We actually watched it. We said we would watch it, and we watched it. And I will say right now, before you give your opinion, because I can see a tirade coming, I'm going to say my piece
I can't
piece
remember
now.
The art pieces, that's all. And I'm just going to give a general...
I'm going to say my piece on it now, because, again, I can see the storm brewing. All I will say about Jimmy Carr Destroys Art, it didn't deserve, and this is just my opinion, I don't think it deserved the headlines that it got. Like, I looked at the way the show was, and I will say this, it was, for the most part, very well done. And it's one of those things where it really was fitting with Channel 4 in terms of being experimental and actually having people be involved. Like, there were times when... where he's like, do you want to destroy this painting? Or do you want to destroy this piece of artwork? And he would actually have conversations with people. And actually ask their opinion. And actually figure it out. And there'll be times where you'd be like, if you want to take a second look. Like, it actually felt like people were actually having real conversations. Rather than just...
This is true. People were genuinely having a discussion.
Like, it wasn't just like, I'm going to destroy shit for the sake of it. And I have to...
That was the first impression.
And I have to give him that. Like, it was very well done. And I'm... like, sorry. But you know, go ahead, like...
Oh, no, I didn't mean to cut you off. I was going to say, there were three things I want to bring up here. One is that, and I said this at the beginning, I thought it was going to be a bait and switch, where it was going to be, we're going to bring him up, but not actually destroy the art. It was just supposed to be a... it was supposed to make a point.
Yeah.
But they destroyed them. It is kind of bizarre, though, that Rolf Harris beat Eric Gill to survive.
Yeah.
It's a bit weird. But I will say this.
Not say.
Indeed. But it does annoy me that there was no option to not destroy either. They had to destroy one. Which annoyed me a bit. Like, if you were in a position where you didn't want to destroy any...
I mean, the whole premise of the show is Jimmy Carr destroys art.
No,
if he destroys nothing, what's the point?
But you're the one deciding what gets destroyed as the audience member. If you don't want to see it get destroyed because you like, you know, there should be an option. The second thing is that, bear in mind, this was right at the very beginning. Where else have, I've never seen any colour footage of Hitler.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, I'm not being pedantic here. If you watch, they have colour footage of Hitler. That's just weird.
Yeah. I remember I saw that too, but I'm like, this is Channel 4. Remember when he did the footage for the World Cup?
But that wasn't in black and white. But that wasn't in black and white. That was just remastered.
No, I think it was in black and white, the World Cup.
No, it wasn't. It was remastered.
No. It was remastered into colour footage for the first time ever.
That was the World Cup. I don't think they had the...
But at the same time, they actually...
I don't think Channel 4 would have given the budget to make this colour.
I don't know. Channel 4, they do strange... Remember, this is the same network that gives us Naked Attraction. I don't put anything past them.
I'm just saying as a point, I've never seen colour footage of Hitler.
That's a first. I'll give you that. It is very unique.
Just as a point.
To see the high or live in living colour.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
For those of you who don't know, there was a picture that was allegedly drawn by Hitler.
Yeah.
And it got shredded a la Banksy.
Yeah.
With chainsaws. But here's the thing. I'm not going to say whether it's right or wrong. That's your decision.
Okay.
I think if you really don't want to see something, don't look at it. But if you don't, if anything, it should still be preserved. Because, like I said before, take the hay. I'm going to use the hay wine as an example. Yeah, it's supposed to be a glimpse into that time period. Right?
Right.
What if, as a hypothetical, someone did... Very much, this is 1940s, 1940s, right? Someone did graphic drawings of, oh, I don't know, what happened in the gas chambers or in the ovens. Would you still destroy it because it's grotesque? You wouldn't, would you? Because it is still a historical... it is a point in history, and it's been made, you know what I'm trying to say, I'm trying to think of the right words. It's a glimpse into that time period, but it is also a physical mark to show this.
Is it? Because I think about it and I go, and this is the thing.
I'm talking about somebody making it then, not now.
Yeah, but at the same time I do sit back and go, we don't need every form of artwork to document every little thing. Like, there are other ways to do it. And the thing is, if we preserve every little thing, we have to then ask the question, where is the cutoff point? Because I know, for example...
But who are you to decide what we keep and what we don't keep?
But exactly. But then at the same time, you yourself many times have had gripes with the Tate Modern and the way they do things.
I'm not... If we're going to go by that logic of, I don't like a piece of art and I could go destroy it, then I could go into the Tate Modern with a pitchfork and burn the place to the ground. I'm obviously not going... I just want to make it clear. I'm not advocating it and I'm not going to. But you can see my point.
Yeah, but my only point here is, if we preserve every little thing, where is then the cutoff point? Because that is the question we then have to ask.
What if...
Because, like, for example, let's say if I drink a can of Coke, and I drink that can of Coke and I finish it, can I then call that art? Because technically speaking...
Okay. But I see your point.
Do you see what I mean here?
But the thing is, if art is decided by the majority, we're then going to get to a point where, as I said, let's say hypothetically the BNP got into Parliament.
Right.
You know, let's hope to God it doesn't happen, but let's say it's hypothetical, the BNP, for those of you who don't know, the British National Party, the racists in the UK.
Yes.
Got into Parliament. What if they said... All art, everything done by anyone who isn't white and British, we're going to destroy. Are we going to sit there and go, oh, that's fine because the majority think it's fine? Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, but then again, you then have to ask the question: what are they defining as art?
Again, I'm not.
But it's but do you see what I mean? Because I'm not just talking, because by your own logic, it's not just about that.
Oh, no, no, I understand.
It's what their classes are. That's what I mean here.
I see your point. I'm just saying that sometimes majority isn't, sometimes majority rules isn't the best way of doing it.
Well, sometimes that's true, sometimes that's false.
Like I said, there are different, what's the word? Not schisms, different situations. But anyway.
Yeah, but I will also say, and I want to make this point clear, when it came down to the Hitler painting, when we were watching the show, I'm going to say it now.
You laughed.
No, I laughed a little bit.
No, you laughed as it went down. I'm not saying this is a thing. He laughed as it went down, as it got painted.
Yeah. Because it was the initial shock of it.
But this is the other thing.
But the other part about it is, it's the fact that, I'm going to be honest when I say this, I was okay with the Hitler painting getting destroyed. And I'll tell you why I was okay with it. Because at the end of the day, we can say what we want about, oh, we want to preserve it. Here's the thing that we have to consider with this stuff. The whole point of these pieces of art existing is the fact that you want people to go over it and see them.
But bearing in mind with this though, that Picasso survived.
Yeah, that was interesting.
Which, they basically had different ways of destroying art pieces. So the first one was a flamethrower.
Yeah.
The second one was hit with paintballs.
Yep.
Third one was thrown off a balcony.
Yeah.
By Jimmy.
That was the Rachel Dolezal for the record.
That was it, yeah, the Dolezal.
Yeah.
And the Banksy got shredded. The Hitler got shredded. Banksy. And the Picasso, if it went, was going to be just have a weight dropped on it.
Yeah.
But this was if you wanted it destroyed, you cut the rope.
Yeah. Yeah, but anyway, as I was saying, the reason why I was okay with it is because the thing you have to consider with the Hitler painting is about the whole point of paintings is if you're going to end up preserving them, you at least, if you're like an art gallery and you're paying money for a lot of these paintings, you want people to go there and see them, right? That is literally the point of an art museum.
If you're in another country, maybe. Here, not so much, because remember, they're all lottery funded.
Not all of them, man.
Are they all lottery? Is it the lottery funded or they get subsidies? One of the same.
No. I don't think a lot of them actually are lottery funded. I don't think they are. Because they have to pay for the paintings a lot of the time.
This is true. Just so you know, over here, a lot of arts and crafts and stuff, a lot of arts and stuff get lottery funding.
I think that's maybe like up and coming artists, but I don't think it's like that applies to.
I'm talking about the galleries.
Yeah.
Like, if you look on it, some of them actually say lottery funding.
I think that's like more independent artists, I think.
Interesting.
Yeah. But anyway, the reason why I was somewhat okay, because if you're an art gallery, it's a double edged sword if you have a Hitler painting in your gallery. Because number one, Hitler is in a position where, let's be completely honest, we have I'm trying to find the right word here, but you've mentioned it many times, curb thinking.
Yes.
And there's been a huge figure with that when it comes to Hitler, when they will say Hitler's like done like is arguably the worst at what he did, when you can argue there are people who have done worse.
Genghis Khan, for example.
Yes, but the thing is, there's been so much attention on Hitler. If you have a Hitler painting in your gallery, most of the time, people cannot look past the artist.
This is the problem.
And maybe that's down to society, and we can argue that more.
But because of this is, I have a theory about that.
Wait, before you do, let me
finish. Go on.
No, but the point I'm going to make here is the fact that if you're an art gallery and you pay money to have a Hitler painting, and a lot of people are like, we ain't going to come to your gallery if that is there, that's going to be a bit of an issue because you've just wasted your money. And it's almost, and that's where the issue lies here. If you're an art, so it's almost like, why have it exist if there's no benefit to it at all? If no one wants to see it.
But who decides whether you want to see it or not?
Yes, but that's the point. But if you're an art gallery, you're going to want people to come to your gallery if you're paying money for these paintings.
I can't disagree.
Like, that's a given. It's different when you're just going to the gallery. Then we can have that conversation.
If you're doing an exhibition, I can understand. But if you're not, and it's just a piece of art, no, it's up to you if you want to see it.
But you see what I mean here?
No, I understand. But I have a theory about it.
But it's like when we talk about, it's like when people talk about Ukraine. And it's like, you talk about Ukraine, and it's like we magnify it to such an effect. But there are other things that go on in other parts of the world that don't get that same attention, but we give this so much attention. And that's how I look when it comes to Hitler.
I have a theory. So my theory with that...
Do you know what I mean?
No, I know. My theory with that is the social media bubble. In that...
Uh-oh. Here comes the pre-boomer rant.
I'm not giving a pre-boomer rant. You know the thing I said about... No, it's like...
Please don't tell me you're going to do a back in my day speech.
No, I'm not. I was going to say about curve thinking. No, I was going to say about curve thinking.
Yeah. All right, I'll be serious for a minute. Go ahead.
So when you have a... So when you have an opinion...
Yeah.
Or if you put something up and it gains traction...
Yeah.
So let's take... I'm just going to use that as an example. Let's take BLM.
Okay.
When it first happened... And this is before all the new stuff.
Yeah.
It started picking up traction.
Yeah.
Then it picked up by the news. Then it went on from there. When you have, and again, I'm not talking about BLM being right or wrong, I'm just talking about the way things manifest themselves.
Yeah.
In the way people think. When something gains traction, then it becomes public discourse.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Now, when it becomes public discourse, then it gets more amplified. Does that make sense?
No,
so,
yeah.
So, like, let's say hypothetically, the... Let's say hashtag BLM, okay? I'm not talking about it's right or wrong. I'm just using it as a big thing. When that started, it went up like that. It went massive within about a day or two because people were, I'm not going to say hooked. I'm saying people were, when one person starts sharing it, then another person starts sharing it, then it sort of snowballs.
Yeah, but the
does that make sense?
No, but the problem you have here, because a lot of the people who have an issue with BLM,
I'm not talking about BLM. I'm talking about the way I'm just using. I'm using it just as a problem in the hashtag.
No. I'm not disagreeing. I'm not, okay. I am actually disagreeing with the point. And the only reason why I'm disagreeing with it...
I'm not... Again, I will make it very clear. This isn't about BLM. I'm just using it as a prominent hashtag.
I'm saying the reason why I don't think that point applies, because most of the people who have an issue with BLM in any capacity don't use social media.
No. Separate BLM from what I'm saying. I'm not talking about BLM. I'm not talking about the movement.
Okay.
I'm just using it as a generic hashtag so people can just sort of follow with me. Do you see what I mean?
I get it.
So people can follow what I'm saying.
I get it, but the issue I have is you're picking a hashtag that, let's be honest, most people who have an issue with it...
I'm not talking about... Again, this isn't about...
encounter it.
No, again, this isn't about the movement. I'm talking about things snowballing and the way it becomes public consciousness.
Yeah, but again, if it's going to become, like, in public consciousness... It's not going to be through social media, because a lot of the people who have an issue with BLM, a lot of them don't use social media.
No.
Because let's be honest, a lot of them, and I'm going to be honest, old and white.
You're missing what I'm saying.
Let's be completely honest.
No. You're missing the point of what I'm saying here. I am not talking about... This isn't about BLM. This isn't about whether it's right or wrong.
A lot of them will look at traditional platforms. They won't actually look at...
But what I'm saying is, when it takes traction... Again, like I said, when it gets traction on Twitter, when it gets traction on everything else, then it goes into the mainstream media, then it goes into the news cycle. Do you see what I mean? Then people pick up on it.
Right.
Again, this isn't about... I'm not talking about BLM. I'm not talking about any specific thing. I'm just using it as a hashtag.
I see. You're talking about the full-grown process.
Yeah, I'm talking about the full-grown process.
Now I get you. Yeah.
Okay, sorry, I should have made that clearer. I'm talking about the whole process from the beginning. I'm not talking about BLM. I'm not talking about anything specific. I'm talking about the whole process.
No, I understand the point. Nah,
when you go from hashtag,
okay,
then somebody shares it, then somebody else shares it, and then it snowballs over and over.
Until somebody in the mainstream catches it.
Yeah, until somebody in the mainstream media catches it. Then it ends up on, let's say it ends up on BBC News because something's happened.
Yeah.
Then it goes into the consciousness of everybody else because this is the mainstream media taking it on as an article. Then it goes from there.
Yeah.
And then, this is what I mean with curved thinking.
Okay.
And then once it gets into the mainstream consciousness, it snowballs from there. There's no... you know what I mean?
No, I get the point.
Yeah. Sorry, I should have made that clear. Sorry it wasn't clear enough, but you...
No, I get the point in this situation.
That's why I was just using BLM as a prominent example. It wasn't about BLM.
Yeah.
It was just the fact that that's basically the process now where... If something happens, there are times that it'll come from something very, very small, and then it'll just build and build and build.
Yeah.
Because people are retweeting, hashtagging, everything else.
Yeah.
And then it goes from there. I think that... I'm hoping that makes sense to you all.
It made a little bit of sense.
Okay.
In terms of just the point about the process.
That's what I was getting into. Yeah, that's what I was going into. I was just using BLM because people know what BLM is. It's not... Again, I'm not going into the movement.
All right. I mean, what were we saying?
We're talking about Jimmy Carr destroying art.
What was the actual...
You were talking about... We were talking about curved thinking and discussion.
Oh, yes. No, that's right. The only point I was making was about Ukraine in general.
Oh, yes, that was it. Ukraine.
No, that was it. Yeah, but that's all it is. It's just like magnified thinking, but that's really all it is. Like, it's not that deep. It's like when we take something and we pick out specific issues that take precedent over the other. And that's something that I just go with Hitler. That's going to be in that category. And that's been in that category for the whole time. You know what? There are other stuff that we could hit on, but most people never actually do talk about that. And maybe going forward, that's what we should do. You know what I mean? I just think that maybe that's what we need to do here. We need to do that. And just to give you guys a heads up, just to let you guys know, while I'm talking to you right now, that autistic guy has taken his third consecutive shit.
Fuck you!
Literally, I'm not even kidding. You know what? Yeah, here I am.
Oh, God. This is a diuretic.
Here I am, trying my best to hold this whole thing together, and this guy keeps going to the goddamn toilet.
I can't help it, okay? Tea's a diuretic.
Stop having tea during the podcast the whole time.
It's better than alcohol.
Yeah, fat fuck.
Fuck you. Anyway.
Stop having tea all the time.
Okay, you've made your point.
God damn it. Like, literally.
This doesn't happen that often.
No, it happens more than you think, people.
Anyway, I mean,
here I am trying to speak very monotone and speak like this.
I'm profound.
Ah, yes. And here I am trying to, I'm like, why am I trying to do it when this guy's taking another shit?
Bear in mind, there are times where you've had to as well.
Yes, but I don't do it as much as you do because you keep drinking so much goddamn tea.
I'm British. We live on tea, the chase, and I hate to say this, Coronation Street.
But no one drinks this much tea.
Unless it's Yorkshire tea.
Okay, take it easy.
I should clarify, I don't like the soaps, but it's a big... Anyway.
Take it goddamn easy. Because you're going to keep going to the toilet and you're going to keep leaving these gaps. And from now from now on, I'm not going to give you the courtesy. You want to keep punishing yourself with tea?
Every time
you go to the toilet, I'm going to take the piss.
Oh, fuck off. Okay. Okay.
Because you're giving me a shit about goddamn paddle. And I think that's fair.
I'm not leaving you without a crap.
Yes, you bloody are. Because there's only so many times I can stretch things out without you present.
Okay. Let's just move on.
God damn it.
Let that be a lesson to you all. Don't drink so much tea before recording something.
Yes. Because otherwise you'll end up having the shits.
Anyway.
I mean, look at me. Literally, you have no idea how monotone I was sounding.
I don't think it came up on... Anyway.
I'll try to be very calm and very whatever. And then I'm like, why am I being this calm when you're taking a shit? For the third time.
I wasn't taking a shit!
For the third time.
I didn't expect this to be the place we were going to go to, but okay. Anyway, can we move on?
Yes, we can move on.
So, I'm just going to bring the tone up a little bit, just with something stupid.
Actually, you know what? I think I know the perfect topic to do it that much. We could save that bit for the funnies.
Yeah, alright.
I know. I get ready for this. And let's see how long you can hold it before you use the loo again.
Fuck off!
He's very flatulent, you know, people.
I'm so flatulent!
Yes, you are. You are very flatulent.
Oh my god.
There are many times where he has farted on the podcast.
I haven't!
Yes, you have.
Do you have to make that? Okay. Stop. I have tried not... Okay. Throughout the whole of this, I haven't.
He has done it so much, I've had to give him a new nickname.
Fuck off.
I called him Sidious Stink Bomb.
Fuck off.
Underlay.
This is... Bearing in mind, this is genuine... Oh, fuck it. Just get on with it. Go on.
Yeah. I know what he's thinking right now.
Just get on with it.
Oh, shit. But then he's like, he would say it in his head, be like, oh, I need to use the toilet again.
Shut up and just get on with it, you fuck. Get on with it.
Oh, man. You know what? All right.
Cut me some slack, okay?
I think I cut you slack earlier in the podcast. The third time round, I'm like three strikes and I'm telling the audience.
You never warned me. One, you never warned me. Two,
I didn't think you'd do it this much.
Two, did I drink any since we started recording?
That makes it worse.
Anyway, just let's move on.
Yes. Oh, God. I don't like being serious, people. I like being whimsical. I like it. It's fun for me. I enjoy it. And this motherfucker had to make me go, yes. So anyway, I think it's very horrible what is happening here. And I think we need to do more. See, I don't like talking like that. You motherfucker. This is my voice that I like to
do. Okay, so talk normally and let's move on.
All right. Do we agree? You'll get your flatulence and your toilet habits. You're not about to do it again.
No, I'm not.
You better... No.
Oh, God. I'm having a drink.
Oh, dear God. No.
Well, I can't drink it yet. It's fucking boiling hot.
He's actually... Seriously, you're about to shit bricks.
I'm not going to shit bricks. Get on with it.
He's, just to clarify, he's poured the milk in and he's drinking more tea.
I'm British. What do you want? Anyway, let's get on with it.
Yes, you're British, but you're also human.
Get on with
it's like you forgot. Literally, he's going to... You know what? I dare you to go to the toilet again.
Fucking
I fucking dare you.
Just get on with
it. I dare you. You go to the toilet. I am going to have a field day with this. You're going to hold it. You understand?
He's going to have a day at the pond if I go again.
I'm telling you now. You are holding it for the rest of the show.
Fine.
Because there's
should clarify that he is literally just making a joke at my expense.
Yes. And it's very well deserved. You don't leave your co-host up shit creek without a fucking paddle.
I actually went up piss creek without a paddle. But anyway.
All right.
Just let's move on.
All right.
Bear in mind, it's not that bad. He's literally just over-exaggerating for the sake of humor.
No, I'm not. You've got that for the third time. And you're now drinking it again. And you're like, I'm going for a fourth.
I've said I'll hold it in, all right? Anyway.
You better.
Anyway.
All right. Anyway, here we go.
Let's just do the funnies to at least bring some humor.
Oh no! This is too good to be in the funnies, but it's fucking funny in its own right.
Oh, is this what I think it is?
Yeah.
Go on.
Here we go. Here's the thing. Get ready for this. A conservative dating app will cease to exist.
To be fair, there are dating apps for many different things. You have the Jewish dating app, you have the Muslim dating app, you have the Christian dating app, you have the gay, you have the straight.
Yes, but they're about to end this one for a reason. And get ready, brace yourself for this.
It folded.
The reason why this app is about to be shut down is because it failed to attract women.
What is that?
A conservative dating app. It's shutting down because it failed to attract women. It gets better. Let me clarify this right now. Let me give you some other details that will enlighten you. When they started this whole thing, they actually said to all the women, you get premium membership automatically. And for the men, you actually have to pay. They made that very clear. And guess what? They gave every advantage to the women and they still can't get them in.
There are weirder dating apps out there.
Oh my God. No.
I mean, you do know there is an autistic dating app out there.
I know.
And I believe they're making one for Down syndrome as well.
I know, you showed me.
No, it's in, I haven't shown you. As far as I know, it's going to be called The Upside of Dating.
No. You showed me the autistic dating app.
No, the one for Down syndrome.
Oh, not
the calling it Dating Upwards.
Whoops, I give it away. Yes, that's right. That autistic guy is single.
Fuck off.
He's single, ladies. And he's ready to mingle. But however, if he's drinking tea, he's gonna
stop it!
He's not gonna be spending much time with you because he'll be too busy in the toilet.
Will you stop? Anyway, back to dating.
Yes. So here's the thing about this whole thing. I'm not surprised one bit that this thing failed. I am not shocked. And I'll tell you why.
Why?
Because we gotta be honest about it. When we sit, and this is something that we have to, before I say my piece on it, what do you think, Kieran, about it?
I don't know enough to make any comment. All I know is it's a conservative dating app that folded.
Do you think conservative dating apps are sound investments?
No, I don't think dating apps that are very specific are solid investments.
Why do you say that? I'll give you, I think before I say my piece, I'll let you say yours. What do you think, Kieran?
I don't think having apps based on specific genres, i.e. your kosher dating app, your Muslim dating app, your conservative dating app, your Christian dating app, your autistic dating app, to name but a few, I don't think that's the way forward. If you want to have one encompassing app where you could separate it, that makes sense. But I don't think separating it is a good idea, because then let's say hypothetically, you have to pay a membership fee. Right? Because we all know that a lot of these you have to pay to be seen more.
Right.
I mean, take one of them. You have to pay a membership to see how many times you've been liked.
Yeah.
It's going to get to the point where you are basically paying as much, paying for all of these at the same amount as you would for, like, I don't know, a Sky subscription.
Yeah.
And it's a bit, I want to make it very clear, I'm not criticizing competition. It's just there has to be a reason. Just because, we can make money from this isn't good enough.
Can I be honest with you when I say this?
I think there has to be more to it. As in, you have to give the people something.
I actually strongly disagree with that completely. And I mean really disagree, because we've seen that that is false.
No, I'm talking about oversaturation.
No, no, but what I'm trying to say is, the reason why I disagree with your point is because your whole point about how it shouldn't be separated is false, because clearly everyone else's one seems to be working out. It's just conservative dating apps that don't work out. And it's not hard to see why.
I haven't seen the liberal ones.
No, the liberal ones, most liberals don't really need to go there. They could go on the normal dating apps. We're not the ones looking for a safe space on this stuff.
I can't disagree.
And here's the thing. The reason why you look at why conservative dating apps don't work is because, and this is something that we have to acknowledge with conservative men, that we have to be honest about, which is that you guys have a stigma.
Which is,
and I'm talking in the mind of modern women. I'm not saying these are my opinions. I'm not saying these are your opinions. And this may not even be the opinions of people listening to this podcast. I'm just putting the genuine consensus.
Go on.
There is something about conservative men that is a that is considered very off-putting towards women, and they look at you guys to a point where they go, there's a level of
authority,
desperation. It's like, I remember,
well, you're saying it doesn't happen on the left either,
but women are more likely to give liberal men a chance. And we got to be honest about that. And the thing is, I remember Kanye West said it best in his Drink Champs interview, where he pointed out one thing, when he talked about wearing the MAGA hat, and I'm paraphrasing him, but he said his wife at the time, Kim Kardashian, said, take that shit off, that small dick energy.
Speaking of which, just on a quick side note, have you seen Chappelle's SNL monologue?
I have seen it, yeah.
I haven't yet. Any good?
It's good.
Fair enough. Sorry, it was just a thought while you said that.
But I'm saying there is a stigma with conservative men where it's kind of like, let's be honest, a lot of the values you guys seem to have, modern women would just not go for. And you have to consider that. And it's like, for example, there are conservative men who are like, women won't date me because I'm conservative. Women won't do it. And I'm like, here you are talking about the liberals, the left, always talking really like victims while acting like a victim yourself.
I don't think political opinions should dictate whether you get a girlfriend or not. I think if you're going to have sex with someone, it'd be because of because you like them, not because of their political leanings.
Sex is different to a relationship, though.
Well, not really. You have to be in a relationship to have sex.
No. No, no. You can have sex with someone without being in a relationship.
You can. We call that person Mila Kunis.
She's in a relationship.
You've seen Friends with Benefits.
Oh, yeah. See, look at you updating your references.
You've been rattling me about this for a while because I've really got to work because I keep making boomer jokes, apparently.
And he's not even a boomer. No, we'll get to that another. But here's the thing about this whole situation is the fact that, and I'm trying to find the right way to say it without being offensive here.
Just say it.
But it's just the fact that when you have that perception, it's like a level of desperation where it's like, you say politics, when it comes to having sex with someone or a one night stand, sure, maybe that shouldn't matter. It's like, do you find them attractive? Yes, no, cool. But the moment it's a relationship, that's different because you have to spend the
rest of your life.
Yeah, that's a little bit different. And it's like, if your beliefs aren't correlating with each other, that doesn't work. And it's like,
that's why 75% of most relationships fail.
Pretty much, yeah, exactly. So you look at it from that perspective, and you look at how conservative men conduct themselves. I'm going to be honest with you.
Let me rephrase that. 75% of relationships fail.
Yeah.
That sounded really weird. Just 75% of most relationships.
Yeah. But I want to say one more thing that we don't actually discuss very often.
Here or generally?
Generally. Here and generally.
Okay.
Which is this. And this is a reality with conservative men. We've got to be honest. So, when you look at men and women today, what are the differences? Like, men, we have our egos.
We also have a penis.
Yes, but I'm talking from an emotional perspective.
Well.
For us, it's our egos. Let's be honest.
Yes, I can't disagree.
And for women, it is their emotions. What is the one thing...
Well, that's the estrogen.
Yes, but what's the one thing conservative men absolutely lack into an alarming rate?
Emotion.
Empathy.
Not necessarily.
Yes, you do. You lack it.
No, that's because I'm autistic.
No. That's the conservatism kicking in. You don't need You don't need to be autistic to not be empathetic. That's the conservatism kicking in.
No, I'm just saying a lot of people on the spectrum aren't empathetic.
Anyway. No, they are, but it's like, it depends how it's...
No, it's not, but it's not as empathetic as, let's say, I don't know, James O'Brien.
No, but the thing is, when it comes down to it, it's such a lack of empathy, and it's like, it's to an alarming rate with conservative men, where when you're talking about women and their emotions, they want men who can at least... Like, and I'm trying to find the right word here, acknowledge people's humanity, and a lot of conservative beliefs go against that, and you have to be honest about that.
I'm not saying they don't.
Like, for example, when we talk about the migrant crisis here in the
UK... You're talking about general conservatism.
I'm talking general conservatism here. Like, if we talk about the migrant crisis, you can have an issue with the migrant crisis all your life.
Again, I want to make this very clear if you're listening for the first time. No, but before... If you are here legally, that's fine, it's the illegals that are my problem.
Let me finish.
Yep.
My only point here is, when it comes down to it, if you can't even muster up a human sort of a threat, go, you know what? I might disagree with the legal or illegal. Whatever your argument is on that is your argument on that. But if you can't even muster up any form of compassion for somebody who maybe is coming from a hard situation, you don't know. You don't keep up with current events around the world. So how the fuck do you know?
Is there a war in France?
Wait. Let me finish my point.
Okay.
And then here they are. They come here, sleep on the floors. In some cases, have their human rights taken away from them. And then the icing, and the icing on top of the shit cake, some of them go through the process legally afterwards, become legal, and still get forced to keep there. If you can't even muster up, like, any compassion at all, that is a turn off to most women.
Can I just say one thing on that? Because it's next week.
Yeah,
you do know in Qatar they've actually paid. They've basically been putting what is basically debt bondage.
I know.
And there's just for those of you who don't know, there are people who've ended up going to Qatar who, many of which died during the building.
Yeah,
because they were treated like absolute
horrible
shit.
Yes,
it was disgusting. I think if I remember right, they came from like Pakistan and Nepal.
Yeah.
And they ended up having to pay the people who got them the job.
Yeah.
Then they couldn't go. They were basically stuck there the whole time. They were stopped from going back when the pandemic happened.
Yeah.
And what's even worse than that was when the earthquake happened, the Haiti earthquake.
Yeah.
I think it was Haiti. During that, and I think the floods in Pakistan, they weren't allowed to go back and check on their families.
Yeah, that's shitty, man. That's shitty. Yeah, but do you see what I mean here?
I know.
But the point I'm trying to make to you here is the fact that I only picked that out as an example.
Oh, no, I'm just saying as a point.
Yes.
But they deserve help.
Yes, but the bigger point that I'm making here is the fact that with conservatives in general, a common thread seems to be a real lack of empathy. And that is a huge issue when it comes down to it, because a lot... And it's like the other part of it...
But then when you get to that point, you're going to sit there as an open border policy. We don't want an open border policy.
No, but that's not the point I'm making. I'm saying you can have your legal and political opinions, but if you can't even acknowledge someone's humanity, that is where you reach a point where you go, yeah, that's a bit of an issue. And that is a turnoff to women. It just is.
That's up to them.
Yeah, but that's the thing, though.
Women have their kinks.
Yeah, but at the same time...
Some women like authoritarianism, I don't know.
Yeah, but that's
I don't know what to tell you.
I'm saying most modern women, that's a turn off to them. And conservative men will always blame them, but I'm like, no, look at yourself, motherfucker. Just for a minute, like, really think about it. Not everything is... And here's the other part with conservative men that I'm going to say right now, which is this. A lot of them complain about SJW politics, how the world's gone woke, and yet they look at everything from a political lens. If you go out seeking it, like, there are many times where I see conservative men, all they do is talk about politics. And if I go on a date with a woman most of the time, you know what the two things I don't talk about is?
The FTSE 100?
Ha! Fair play. Nah, that's
although, to be fair, if you really love each other, don't you want to play FTSE 100?
Ha! Alright, I'll give you that. You're 2 for 2.
I actually got 2 for 2.
Yes, yeah, you got 2 for 2. Good for you.
I actually did a funny.
Yes, you did a funny. But anyway, as I say, the two things I'll avoid on a first date is politics and sport. I avoid them like... Unless she brings it up, I avoid it like the plague. It's just a lot easier.
To be fair, though, you would talk about sport because you don't. Because the thing is, a lot of people might want to talk about. Because the thing I found is a lot of women want to know if you will want to know what happens if you're like the last men on Earth.
Yeah.
And what would happen to the Thunderdome?
Ha! All right, fair play.
I'm just saying.
Ah, but do you see what I mean here?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's like all the time, conservative men can't seem to get out of the political echo chamber. And you can say what you want about liberal men. We are at least capable of having a non-political conversation.
To an extent, we are as well.
No, you're not. Because how many times... Like, you're the same guy who once went on a rant... And I'm only saying this because this is a private...
Fuck off! No, we're not going into this. You are not going into this. I know what you're saying. You are not doing this.
You never made me swear not to tell.
I made you swear not to tell. Oh, fuck off. Not on this. Oh, God.
You made me swear on something else.
I know you made me swear on this. Fuck.
You're the same guy who what had a complaint because you ordered something over the phone.
No.
And then eventually, what happened was...
Oh, God.
He got so angry at the person over the phone.
Let me say what I said.
Go on. Let's see if he tells the truth.
So...
Go on.
From the beginning. Okay, so I ordered something from IKEA.
Yes.
And there were no screws.
I know. He got screwed.
Basically.
He got screwed by not getting screws.
And
I
called up.
Yeah.
Because it was delivered, thinking, yeah, they'll send it for the next day or something. They said it could take up to 2 weeks.
Yes.
Now, being pissed off as I was, I had somebody who was talking to me like she was Diane Abbott.
Who says that?
Shut up a minute.
So what I said was,
because she was talking to me in a very condescending way, I turned around and I said, look, we are not at a Labour conference. Don't talk to me like you're Diane Abbott.
Again, you guys are hearing this, guy. Who in the real world says that? Unless you're talking to a conservative.
Just bear in mind, I was extremely pissed at the time.
Yes, but the fact... This is my point right there. That is a turn-off to most women.
Have you not noticed that most people do funny stuff when they're pissed off?
Yes, but they don't sit there and compare it to a goddamn Labour conference. No. Boring fuck. Like, seriously?
She was talking to me like she was fucking Diane Abbott.
Even if I'm angry, I would never sit here and say, hey, this sounds like a conservative conference.
I didn't say that. I said, we're not at a Labour conference. Don't talk to me like you're Diane Abbott.
But again, this is the point. It's the fact that conservatives are so down the political rabbit hole. Some people don't want to talk politics on a first date.
I wasn't doing it specifically because it was political. I was just doing it because it was shit to get.
Yes, but the thing is...
And the thing was, I just want to say one thing. He made that sound like it was bad. He nearly pissed himself laughing.
It was fucking hilarious. But it was hilarious for all the wrong reasons.
If something makes you laugh, it makes you laugh for the right reasons.
This was kind of a little bit different.
But
the point I'm making here is conservatives keep on saying they don't want politics to be involved, but they always go seeking it out. And it's like, some people sometimes just want to sit down and chill. Do you know what I mean? And that's the problem.
I'm not disagreeing.
With conservatives, that seems impossible for you guys to do.
Not necessarily.
Like, you and I, we've got to know each other. We can switch it off. But most conservatives...
In most places, in most surface level things, it's too hard.
I'm going to be honest with you. Most conservatives just can't seem to do it.
And this is why I've shocked him.
Yeah.
Like, to the point where he... Like, when we first met...
You were so far down the rabbit hole.
So were you.
Not really.
You thought all Brexiteers were racist until you met me.
I'd say I thought most. I didn't think...
Okay. But you had your preconceptions.
Yeah.
As did I, and we've both done things on either side.
No, we have, to be fair. I will give you that.
But the point's still there. Anyway.
Yeah. But again, do you see the point I'm trying to make to you here?
If you don't want me to tell you not to talk like Diane Abbott, then don't fucking talk like Diane Abbott. It's that simple.
No, but my point to you is...
Yes, I get the point.
Not everything has to be about politics. And to conservatives, it's to a point where everything becomes about politics with them.
Okay, no, I won't disagree.
And that's the thing. And some women don't want to talk about that on
that's
a first date.
That's fine.
They don't. And look,
you know what the best line is? You know what the best line is on your first date?
Go on.
What's your choice of hedge fund? There you go, I'm 3 for 3.
Yeah. But here's the other part about this. But here's the other part that I found is so interesting. Do you know who actually owns this dating net site that actually
was... I'm going to assume it's the Donald.
No. No. The person who owns the dating site... By the way, it was called The Right Stuff, by the way. The person who owns the app is Peter Thiel, who is a who's a known conservative, who, wait for it, is openly gay. Ta-da!
There's nothing wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong with that in theory, but if you're going to have a conservative app, they don't exactly promote gay relationships on that app, do they?
Yeah, they do.
No, they don't.
Wait, you're talking about Americans, right?
No, I'm talking about the app that he paid
for. Yeah, you're talking about Americans, right?
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm talking about the app he paid for, that he made happen, put out there for the whole country to see. All
right.
There was no options for gay couples at any point, even though he's an openly gay man.
I get that.
Like, it's very fact. Like, this was a failure on so many levels. And you know what? I'm just going to say this now to conservative men. Liberal women don't have to... In fact, there are conservative women... Why is it that conservative men are always complaining about liberal women when there are conservative women that exist?
I don't know.
Do you see what I mean?
No, here? I get the point.
Like, what? Let me ask you. Why do you think that is?
I don't know. I'm not being pedantic. I really don't know.
Why are you chasing after women that wouldn't want to go for you because of your values? Well,
I'm not chasing after women.
No, not you specifically. I'm talking in a general sense. Because I know society. I know because it's a common thread, and they're like, "You have to, like, you should get to know me." I'm like, "No, we don't."
Can we leave that on a cliffhanger just for thought? Because I don't have an answer.
At all?
No.
Okay. I mean, we can leave it as a thought provoke. Yeah. As a thought bubble thingy. Yeah. But it is an interesting point.
No, I'm not disagreeing. And just to end on the funnies...
Actually, wait, there is one more thing to touch on, isn't there? Alright, yeah, actually, you're on second force. We can wrap it up a little bit. Yeah, and
just for the funnies. So, you know, beginning of the Holocaust, Christian act.
Yeah.
What would you, you know, if you're going to do something, you know, what was thought to be the beginning of the Holocaust?
Yes.
Not something you'd think to celebrate, would you?
Of course not.
You know, if you KFC, it is. KFC have apologised after a German Krustenakt promotion.
Ha!
KFC have apologised after sending a promotional message to its customers in Germany, urging them to commemorate Krustenakt with cheesy chicken.
Oh, that's brilliant.
The message, what was it? The message was heavily criticised for its insensitivity and was later blamed on, quote, an error in our system.
Yeah.
It's like with PayPal. They had to go through lawyers to do this. It wasn't an accident.
Yeah.
But they said the fast food chain sent an app alert on Wednesday saying, quote, "It's Memorial Day for Krustenakt. Treat yourself with more tender cheese on your crispy chicken now at KF Cheese."
Ha!
They've said we are very, very sorry. And we will check our internal processes immediately so this does not happen again. Please excuse the error, yes. The message is reported to have said.
Well, what they did was not finger-licking good, that's for damn sure.
I'm just saying. It's just stupid.
No, it's very tone-deaf. Like, it was very tone-deaf, especially being the German KFC. Like, they should at least
you know what they should. Look, you know, if they're going to do that, you know what they should have done?
Yeah.
How the Colonel. Do you know what I mean? They should have just started. They should have just
done. Why am I more bothered about this than you?
Because it's so stupid. It is so stupid, you can't help but laugh. Like, I'm not going to sit there and have outrage over this. Like, I could sit there and be outraged, but what's it going to do? It was just a stupid thing to happen. Do you know what I mean? If they did a thing saying, you know, "Hail the Colonel," yeah, "celebrate Krustenakt with cheesy chicken," I'm not exactly going to sit there and have a hissy fit over it. It was funny. Stupid.
Stupid, but funny.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway.
I mean, there's only one way they could have made it worse. If KFC were like, hey, celebrate Crystal Night this summer with some cheesy chicken, and they end it with, ba-da-da-da-da, no, I'm loving it.
That's McDonald's.
I know. That's
the joke. Oh, I think.
Really? What a way to ruin my joke. Yeah, thanks for that.
No, it just didn't per. I didn't get that. But anyway.
Okay, well, now I have to give myself the wah, wah, wah.
I'm sorry for ruining it. But anyway, until the next time, I've been your autistic guy.
I've been the Somali John.
Hail the Colonel. Enjoy your cheesy chicken.
And please don't die.
Yeah, please don't die. We really need the listeners. Really need the listeners. Until then.
Yes. And stop drinking and don't drink tea all the time because you'll end up taking shits like this guy.
It was a piss.
Sure it was.
Anyway.
Sure it was, Colonel.
Bye for now.
Bye.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.